people did. That Peter had a sermon. Peter had an audience. Peter had a response. At the end of it all, Peter and the apostles have a church. But Acts chapter 2 is not something that man did. Acts chapter 2 is a work of God. Acts chapter 2 is a day in the life of the Holy Spirit and the great beginning of the Holy Spirit's active ministry of presence and witness in the world. You will need to leave today with the abiding understanding that the Holy Spirit is the great evangelist, that the Holy Spirit is the great witness, and that everything that we have to say and everything that we do that points to Jesus is an outgrowth of the continuing ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world. Now, the Holy Spirit may not be someone you talk about very much. And there may be something in you that says we're about Jesus and we're not much about the Holy Spirit, so we want to talk about that. We believe that God is one. And that in the oneness of God, we discern three ways that God presents Himself to the world. We are familiar with God who is the Father. In the Old Testament, we are often hearing about the Lord and the reference there to God in His oneness, and God's not differentiated very much. God comes then and says He's going to send His Son into the world, and we hear this word, this Son is coming, and we know that there is in God a certain kind of two-ness, Father and Son. And God sends His Spirit. The Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son is the Spirit, and we understand the threeness of God. And we are in the middle of a mystery that this morning we will not unpack. In fact, it is better to live inside the mystery of the Spirit than it is to spend your time trying to do Holy Spirit CSI and figure it all out. Blessed are those who can live in a mystery and not try to ruin it. The Holy Spirit's had some interesting duty in His life as Spirit and God. The Holy Spirit really is, to me, that aspect of God that dives into chaos and creates structure. That dives into madness and creates sanity. That dives into irrationality and creates clear thought. The Holy Spirit is that which creates life where there's death. Our first peek, perhaps, at the Holy Spirit is in Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about the mighty wind, the Holy Spirit, that is moving across the face of the deep. And out of that chaos, out of that deep, God is forming the world. And soon there are mountains and trees and squirrels and armadillos. And all of it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit that broods over chaos and moves to create structure and beauty and wonder. In Ezekiel chapter 36, you have God talking through the prophet and saying, there's going to come a day where I'm going to sprinkle you with pure water, and I'm going to make you clean, and I'm going to bring you to myself, and I'm going to take your heart, and I'm going to take out your heart of stone, and I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and then you'll be my people, and you'll be able to keep my will and do it. It's going to be a better day when my spirit comes. He says it is. And then you turn the page to Ezekiel 37, and Ezekiel sees this valley of dry bones, and he says, prophesy to the bones, prophesy to the bones, and tell them to come together. And bones come together, and soon there are joints that come together, and soon there are skeletons, and then there is meat. But there is no life. There is no life in Ezekiel 37 until God says, call for the breath. Call for the wind, call for the ruach, call for the Spirit. Call for the Spirit to blow, and the Spirit begins to blow, and soon there is life in the valley of death. The Spirit's had some good days. One of the Spirit's really good days we hear about in Luke chapter 1. Where the angel of God tells Mary she's going to have a child. And Mary goes, how's that going to happen exactly? And he says, well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You'll be overshadowed by the glory of God. And because of that, the child that is within you will be called the Son of God. And in the mystery of that incarnation, the Holy Spirit works in Mary's body, and out of her body comes Jesus Christ. And out of His interaction with Mary, we see the reality of Christ formed in her, and we see exactly what the Holy Spirit's continuing ministry is going to be in the world. The Holy Spirit's ministry continues to be to desire to come into each one of us and allow Christ to be formed in that place. David in Psalm 51 cries to the Lord, don't take your Spirit from me, Lord. Don't take your Spirit from me. How will I live through this chaos of guilt and shame if you take your Spirit from me? And so Pentecost is a day, another day in the life of the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonder, really. I love those people gathered there. I love that 120. We talked about them last week. They're praying. They don't know what to expect. They have no way to imagine what God is about to do. Nothing in their frame of reference. Nothing. Yeah, this is a lot like what happened last Tuesday. Nothing can prepare them for this. Nothing. And soon in this upper room, there is the sound of a wind, because the Holy Spirit is always associated with the breath, the wind. And there's fire. And there's stirring. And there's energy. And something is happening that has never, ever happened before. And soon they're speaking. These 120 are speaking, and they're moving out of the room, and they're into the street, and they're into the courtyard, they're into the temple courts, they're out with the people, and soon the people are hearing a message they've never heard in languages they know well, but in their language they hear a message they can hardly believe. And they gather and they mill, and it seems like a chaos, but the chaos is the Spirit moving across the face of that Pentecost deep, and the Spirit moving across the face of that Pentecost deep to create structure and life and glory. It is the Holy Spirit moving so that there can be hearts of stone replaced with hearts of flesh, and a new Spirit put there that the very presence of God might be implanted in someone's heart and Christ be formed there. The Spirit of God is having a great day. It's a great day for the Holy Spirit. How long has He waited for this day? How long has He anticipated? Like the angels who had been practicing for eons to sing glory, glory in the heavens on the night Jesus was born. How long has the Spirit played through His mind what Pentecost will be like as He moves into the 120 and by Peter makes a promise that God is willing to move heaven and earth to keep? And the people hear this message. Peter didn't have a chance to make up this sermon. Peter hadn't been studying all week saying, what am I going to preach on Pentecost? He didn't know till that morning he was going to be doing anything different. This is the Spirit's sermon. The Spirit wants to proclaim that this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. The Spirit wants to proclaim that this is the prophecy of Jesus. The Spirit wants to proclaim that now there is life in Christ. The Spirit wants to proclaim that the very fact that the Spirit has been poured out is the sign that Jesus is in heaven. If the Spirit's on earth, Jesus is in heaven. That's what He says. Now when the people wonder what in the world they can do, Peter says, repent and be baptized. And you'll receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think of the Holy Spirit in that audience, looking over that crowd, looking over that chaos. Here's a woman who had yelled, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," when Jesus had walked down the Palm Sunday road into Jerusalem, and not much more than a few days later was yelling in the courtyard, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas!" And the Spirit looks into the heart of that woman and says, "Man, I wish I could live in there. I could really do something in the heart of that woman." And here's a hard-hearted Pharisee. Here's a rebuking Pharisee. Here's the judgmental Pharisee. And the Holy Spirit broods over the face of that Pentecost crowd and thinks of that person's heart. "Oh, I wish I could move into that heart. I could do something in that heart." The Holy Spirit is like a person walking through a broken down neighborhood, looking at houses that he could possibly buy, and they're all fixer-uppers. They're all fixer-uppers. "I could do something if I owned that house. And if I could take my skills and my craft and I could move into that house, I could rip out all the carpet and change all the wood. I could take out the baseboard and redo all the countertops. I could hang new light fixtures. Boy, I could make a great house out of that. If I could have that little piece of chaos, I could make a wonder out of it." Some of you live in a house like that. Some of you maybe live in a house that you wish someone would do that. Some of us know what it's like to have a heart where the Spirit doesn't live. And if you have a heart where the Spirit doesn't live yet, that heart can be full of all kinds of things, but it is not yet full of what it was meant to hold. And it was meant to hold the presence of God Himself. So this morning we think not only of the crowd gathered there at Pentecost, that chaos that would remind the Spirit of that early chaos in creation. We think not just of that Pentecost crowd, but we think of all of us gathered here, the Holy Spirit brooding over us here, and trying to say to us, "Come to Jesus Christ. Come to the risen Lord. He has been crucified for your sins, and God has raised Him from the dead, and He is living at the right hand of God even now. And because Jesus is at the right hand of God, I am speaking even now through these scriptures that Annette wrote. I am calling to you through the circumstances of your life. I am the great witness and the great evangelist, and I long to be in your heart." Then maybe that's not where your heart is this morning. Maybe there's nothing in you that prompts you to open yourself to God, that opens yourself to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not quite to that place of letting your life go. That's okay. But I want you to know that as long as you live, as long as you live without Jesus, the Holy Spirit seeks to evangelize your heart. As long as you live without Jesus, the Holy Spirit seeks to be the witness of Christ in your life. Because that's what the Holy Spirit lives. lives to do. The Holy Spirit lives to implant Christ in us. The Holy Spirit lives to see Christ growing in us. The Holy Spirit lives to see Christ exalted in the world. And for that reason, when I look at the book of Acts, I don't see Acts as the Acts of the Apostles. I see Acts as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Peter's wonderful. But as Annette read, and Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, said, yes. And Paul does amazing and wonderful things. But he's full of the Holy Spirit. And when I think of our ministry here in this place, and when I think not only of our Jerusalem inside these walls perhaps, but also of Judea and Samaria around us, of this area, I know that what this Austin needs in its heart is a church that is continuing the witness of Christ in the world by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. That we are a people who are sold out to the continuing ministry of Jesus here and to the continuing ministry of the Holy Spirit through us. That we are not trying to figure out where the Father is and where the Son is and where the Spirit is and try to draw these lines and build these walls and to say that we're Father people but we're not Spirit people, but we're Jesus people but we're not Father people, and you just get all crazy and you claim to know more than you can know. That what we are the people who are deeply embedded in the heart of God. Who are called by the risen Lord Jesus to ministry in the world. And we know that if we obey the call of Christ to be ministers in the world, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that will make that happen. And without the Holy Spirit, we are mute and irrelevant. That's all. And I don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. How many lives do you get to live? One. I don't want to live my one life far from the heart of God. I don't want to live my one life far from the purposes of God. I don't want to live my one life far from the love of God. And because of that, I don't want to live my life far from the Spirit of God. So when we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love, may it be so. May it be so. So that the same ministry of the Holy Spirit in a dark and chaotic world can be a ministry that makes our own lives clearer and then through us works to spread the beauty and order and grace of God wherever we are. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of the Father. Don't be afraid of the Son. Don't be afraid of the Spirit. Don't be afraid of the future that God may bring us if we will put ourselves in His hand. Don't be afraid. God is with us. He is for us. He is in us. He is over us. He is through us. To God be the glory. If you are not a Christian this morning, but already you know where your faith lies, And if the ministry of God through His Spirit has already moved you to faith, then we invite you to respond in faith as we stand and sing.